good afternoon. It's time once again for the Mike Wilson Show, or maybe the Mike Wilson Experience. We're not sure what we're going to call it yet. But anyhow, I'm here, and Terry Tackett and Scott Spears are in the studio. And so I'm surrounded by some professionals here.
Yeah.
I've been here for a long time today.
Say, when you find them, let me know when you find the professional.
That's, yeah, okay. Okay, well, what are our topics today? Where are we going to begin?
You're steering this boat.
Yeah.
I'm steering this
boat.
Yeah.
You're the captain, man. We're just...
What do you want to know?
Well...
Yeah.
Wow, I've got the experts here on everything, apparently. Well, I don't know. I was kind of... I stopped in earlier today when you were talking about young men asking for a girl's hand in marriage and whether or not that's appropriate.
Yeah.
And...
I feel it is.
I do.
Okay.
Because I think that the in-laws, most people's in-laws, they don't get along with them.
Yeah.
So that's your last chance to really get along with the in-law before it really starts going downhill.
I was thinking that same thing, but I was thinking it would help you make a more positive impression with the in-laws. To kind of
Well, you've probably met the in-laws by that point, haven't you?
Well, but I mean... I just think it'd be better, you know.
Has anybody ever had a good relationship with their in-laws?
With the in-laws, yeah.
Or their outlaws.
Is there such a thing as a good relationship?
No. It's always downhill.
Right.
I'll tell you, that theme song that you selected for me there.
Isn't that upbeat?
It kind of reminds me of
Andy Griffith.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I should have a fishing pole.
Exactly,
on my shoulder.
Hey, Paul.
Boy, that, you know, Andy Griffith. I think it's so sad that he has been relegated to that series. I mean, it's a great series. It's a good series.
Right.
But he was a really good actor.
Yes, very talented.
If people have not seen A Face in the Crowd, that is one of the best movies there ever has been. And it's not Andy from Mayberry at all.
No. I watched a lot of Ben Matlock.
What about, what was it, No Time for Sergeants?
I No Time for Sergeants.
As well.
Brilliant. And his stand-up was not bad. You know, what was his, he did the thing on football.
What It Is Football.
What It Does Is Football.
I do believe, yeah.
But he started with Shakespeare. Now, it was...
Is that old?
Well, he started with the kind of hillbilly explanation of Shakespeare. But it wasn't Shakespeare that he... it was... what's some of Shakespeare's... Not Romeo and Juliet.
Macbeth.
No. Hamlet?
Othello?
Hamlet.
Okay, Hamlet.
Okay. I think it was Hamlet. Which is a great, great bit. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yeah,
I'll have to look that up later. I always thought Hamlet was a baby pig. Hamlet. Yes.
That's what they become when you fry them. No.
I wonder if you can get that at McDonald's.
Yeah.
A Hamlet?
On your Egg McMuffin.
Yeah.
You know something that just ticks me off? Is in the morning, I stop to get a beverage at McDonald's.
Oh, here we go.
But you don't like this?
Here we go. Every day it's every day. Every day it's something.
I don't
want to
take the show over.
I'm just taking that Larry King stance here.
Is that what that is? he was propped up.
And by the way, he started on ABC, I believe.
No. Wrong.
Oh,
oh my. I see we
the
already
question
off on
remains
the
unanswered.
No, what I don't like is people on their cell phones waiting in line and they don't move up at the proper time.
Oh yeah. That's irritating.
Yeah.
What is wrong with people? Well, do they really need to get that message that quickly? They just left the person a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
Technology.
Well, I had a guy come out the window the other day at Kroger to get some gas, and he was proposing as he was getting.
Did he ask for her hand in marriage
beforehand? He said something. He goes, "You know, I love you, baby," or something like that. And I thought, "Do you need
at the gas pump?"
Yeah, no, at the window.
That was the best place he could come up with. Was at the window at the Kroger gas station.
I thought,
wow,
man, what a story to tell the grandkids.
Yeah,
it's romantic.
I know. I thought, okay. And I kept saying, sir.
You know, Valentine's Day is just a couple
of
days
away.
Right,
if you could just wait a couple of days. Yeah, you know.
I think more people propose on that day than any other day.
Oh, yeah.
Probably.
Candy sales go up and flowers.
And liquor.
And liquor.
Because you want people to be a little you know, loopy.
Yeah.
When you ask them that question.
For their hand in marriage. For their hand in marriage, you want her to be a little loopy when you
And also, it takes your edge off.
Yeah.
Because
Or are you getting the in-laws drunk when you a little loopy when you, you might get the in-laws.
That could help. That could help. Hey, you were talking about something earlier today in Toledo.
Yes.
I will not be able to attend. I would love to, but I would love to be. But what's going on?
Now, why can't you attend?
Yeah.
You don't get a vacation day or
come
something?
Come on.
Besides this, I do have a full-time job.
You're going to miss the
century. You have vacation.
Don't you know that this is the 25 years in the making?
Oh, okay. Well, I might see about
you have a you have vacation, I'm sure.
I might see about taking
We have 4 hours
there
to
is
fill.
Exactly. Food involved.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So good.
One
food.
Of our great listeners, Ted Jolliffe, drove up there
And already checked it out for us.
Scoped it out for us this week.
So they're ready for us.
Okay.
tell people what they're ready for, Terry.
It's the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow's swearing in as the Treasurer of the United States.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
So
she was sworn in on March 1st, 1994.
So on March 1st of 2019, we're going to be going to Tony Paco's, which is famous for people signing hot dog buns and putting them on the wall and everything, and she's going to do that.
Oh, really?
But we're going to broadcast live from there for 4 hours that
day. I hadn't heard that part.
So,
of
yes.
That.
Yes.
Okay.
See, I say Tony Paco.
I say Paco. I don't know. I hope I'm...
See, you're from Southern Ohio.
I say Walter. Walter.
Bring your buns and let Mary Ellen Withrow sign them.
Exactly. We'll
and Mary Ellen is in the Guinness Book
of
World
Records
for signing more currency than anybody else.
So I think it's going to be a great event for her. There'll be a lot of videos and photos. I'm sure, like I say, I'm sure I'm going to get messy that day because I'm going to have to try a couple of hot dogs. So,
Well, Mary Ellen is a fascinating human being. I love to hear her speak.
Yeah, yeah. She's a great lady. So,
anyhow, more about the event. The date is 20.
It's March 1st.
March 1st. Okay.
They open at 10:30 up there, I believe. Right.
Yes, but we'll be taking the air at 11:15.
11:15. Till 3 o'clock.
Okay.
Charlie will be with us.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
And Charlie's never had a Tony Paco hot dog.
Yeah.
I haven't either.
So
it's going to be a day.
It's on Front Street up there. I'm not sure. I don't have the.
I've never had one.
I don't know the address, but it's on that paper. It's on
Front Street. 1902 Front Street in Toledo, Ohio.
There you go.
They open at 10:30 a.m.
Yep.
But
and this is the original Tony Paco's, right?
Oh,
there's
original.
Like five of them.
We would not do a syndicate. Only the original.
And we may see Jamie Farr up there from MASH.
Yeah, it's possible.
He made it famous. He made it famous. So I don't know.
Well, that would.
But
that
hopefully,
would be
hopefully Mike can join us and the whole gang will be there, man.
Sean will be there.
Yeah, Sean will be there.
Okay. Well.
Historic.
Yeah. Mike can join us, and Charlie, and myself, and Sean, and you, and
maybe you can swear me in officially.
Yeah, Mary Ellen,
we can do that.
Put you in the Bun Hall of Fame up there, and
you can take pictures of all the people. Nancy Reagan has signed buns.
Mr. T,
Burt Reynolds.
Yeah,
Burt Reynolds signed a few buns.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Probably grabbed a few. No, I'm just.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds. Yeah, more than likely. Yeah.
Frisky.
Yeah,
he was a frisky guy.
Yeah, he was.
I've heard. So, anyhow, that'll be March 1st,
yep.
Toledo, 1902 Front Street, broadcast started 11:15, I believe you said.
11:15, yep. Straight on through 3. I don't know if Brandy's coming or not.
Yeah.
She might not.
She might.
Okay. So.
But, like, we'd love to have you if you're available.
It's going to be once in a lifetime.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what we can do. I will have to see what I can do about that day.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
Cool.
Not impossible.
Yeah.
So, we...
I thought it'd be nice. It's real close to the river up there, I guess, the Maumee River, and I guess that place is really nice.
So if anybody acts up, we'll be able to dispose of the bodies easy enough.
Or if you eat too much, we can just kind of discard you in the
Maumee
River.
The Maumee River is right across from the Daddy River.
Daddy
River,
right?
Yeah. Sure.
Yep.
Sure.
Yes. And Bubby's in the back.
The Bubby River.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Bubbly, I meant.
Bubbly. Yeah. Bubbly. Yeah. Well, you know, depends what part of the country you're from.
Yeah.
Do you say aunt or aunt?
Yeah.
I say aunt.
Oh.
That is the proper pronunciation.
No.
In this part of the country.
No.
That's the next debate that
we... No, it's true, because would you say knuckle? Because if you take the U out of aunt, then you have to take the U out of uncle. And if you take the U out of uncle, it's knuckle. But we don't say knuckle. We say uncle.
Yeah.
It's aunt.
Okay.
No, I just,
not
I don't
to be
know.
Confused with little insects, I know.
No, that, well, see, that's the problem with the other word.
That's true.
Ant.
That's true.
Because that can mean insects, that could mean a hill, that could mean a lot of things. But aunt is only one thing. Your aunt. Did you have aunts that you liked?
I have a lot of aunts. I have aunts, okay?
No, you have aunts.
Okay.
You might have aunts, too. I don't know.
Mom and dad's sisters, okay?
Okay. Did you like them?
I have every single one that I have, I like.
Oh,
there might be
man.
A couple of them listening from what I saw on Facebook. So.
What was the debate about if you were having a party?
Oh, yeah. This is
yeah.
This is the long-term
question.
You've got to
pose the question
this,
to
this,
Mike.
This
here,
goes so. Back about three radio stations and 3 decades.
100 years ago, yeah.
So the question is, a lady wrote in years ago and said she was having a Christmas party, holiday party. It might have been Thanksgiving. She was having a holiday party. Now, her mother and her aunt did not get along. Now, her mother always comes to the holiday parties, but her aunt had called her and said that she wanted to come to the party.
Okay.
So what do you do?
Oh, my. What a conundrum.
It's a conundrum type of question, and that's why it's went on.
For three radio stations.
What kind of answers have you heard?
Oh, everything wrong.
Yeah.
Like one person said, well, you just don't tell her and never show up. Well, no, that's going to ruin the party for everybody else.
And the one said you keep them in separate rooms or something.
Can't
I think
do
was,
that. Impossible.
I've seen too many sitcoms where they tried that.
You're right.
Or you tell the mother that she has to get over it. Well, you can't tell your mother to stay home. There's no good answer.
Yeah.
That's true. That I think that's going to be an ongoing question without a good answer.
Then the other question that has been long-term has been the lady, I think it was a lady, she wanted to be buried, and she lived in Ohio.
Okay.
But her daughter called her up. Her daughter had moved to Washington State.
Okay.
And she said, I want you to be buried in Washington State so I can come visit you. My husband's family's buried in Washington State. Mm-hmm. Well, she had planned to be buried in Florida because her family was in Florida. Okay. So she didn't know where to be buried. Should she be buried with her family in Florida where she has a plot? Or should she go to Washington where her daughter wants her to be buried, but she doesn't know anybody in the graveyard?
Wow.
Another conundrum.
Well, I don't care where they put me once I'm gone.
But, you know, the daughter, I think, because a lot of people do go decorate.
Sure.
And they put flowers out. And
well,
it'd
that's true.
It'd be hard to fly to Florida
on
Memorial Day to just put some flowers out on the headstone.
Yeah, for that purpose, I could see that, yeah.
And she could go visit her more often if she was in Washington.
Yeah, but I'm like that, too, though. I don't want to be in a cemetery where I don't know anybody.
Make you feel uncomfortable, you know.
It'd make me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I want to be in a cemetery where I know
somebody. It's supposed to be your final resting place, so you're supposed to be able to rest comfortably.
You're not going
to
be at rest if you don't know anything.
Right, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Well,
you'd be.
This could be a grave situation.
It very well could.
It's life or death. Oh, I mean.
Life or death.
My plot, I already have, so, you know.
Oh, where's your plot?
In the ground.
Yes.
No, at the cemetery of the church where I grew up, at Bryn Zion Cemetery, the other side of Mount Gilead.
You know, some people, this is what I don't like when it comes to funerals. I don't like when they have the visitation or the funeral a long ways from the cemetery.
Right.
That's a long drive.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I just don't go anymore.
Right.
I used to think it was some kind of respectful, but then I realized they're dead. They're not going to know if I did it or not.
Exactly.
So when I pull in, I say, no. I say, how close is the cemetery to where we are now? And if it's more than 10 miles, I say, leave the flag off. I'm
going
home.
Right. Exactly.
Well, you go to the funeral home to show respect to that person, but it's mostly for the people that they've left behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know.
What if you didn't like the people they left behind?
Right.
Well, then don't go.
I agree.
But if you like that person, it's hard not
Everybody
to.
Everybody who dies is a saint. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Everybody
that's
who
true.
Dies is a saint, and that's just not true.
Suddenly, when you pass away, you are a saint.
Everything you did
all
that was
bad
is.
Things, in some cases, are forgotten.
And it shouldn't be.
That's true. You should tell the people these good things when they're still around.
But the one question, too, you read that obituary, remember? The obituary said,
Yeah, I think that some people leave the writing of the obituary up to their kids, and if their kids don't like them, that can be a bad situation.
Because I read that one.
I go out and walk a mile every night, and last year I was walking, and this dawned on me because I have to walk by two churches as I'm out at night, and I think I want my obituary to read, Scott Spears died 2099, and if you... now, see, I've forgotten it. See, you threw me. Talk about something else for a second. No, I know what it was. The obituary should read, died in 2099, and if you knew me better, you'd know the rest. Period. Because
that's true. That works.
If you don't know that where my funeral is, and you don't know that I've died by the time my obituary comes out, I don't want you at the funeral.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. I agree with you.
There you go.
To be continued.
Save on the word, save on the whole obituary thing.
Well, you know that the newspapers do charge you for your obituary.
Oh, I know they do.
Per word, right?
Which I didn't know that.
Heavy-duty stuff.
Often it's hidden in the cost when you do the funeral at the funeral home.
And they get you when you're grief-stricken.
Right.
Yeah, most certainly, yes.
We don't charge here.
Just sign this.
Those obituaries are free.
Yeah.
You can die here and it won't cost you a thing.
That's right.
And I listen every day to see if I'm included.
Do you?
So far I haven't.
Adam does a fantastic job. He does a wonderful job.
He's found his calling, so to speak.
Okay, Adam might be out there listening. I'm pretty sure
he
is.
What did he call himself one time? The DJ of death? I think he called himself something like that.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah, that makes sense. Topics.
We're having a good old time
now.
Yeah,
what else is on the table?
Yeah.
This is like people tuning
unstructured?
In to a conversation.
That's right.
It is.
Expecting some real conversation. I mean,
well, it's very educational. That's for sure.
Is the alarm going?
He's got to leave.
What happened?
Mike's got to leave.
That is a telemarketer. Doesn't that get you that now the telemarketers and so on use your area code when they're coming from a different area?
Yeah.
To fool you into thinking it's somebody local.
Right.
It is sad. People always call up and they ask me, what's your electric bill?
Yeah.
Why is that a new thing?
Right.
What do you pay for electric?
Exactly.
And I say, what do you pay?
Yeah.
And that's the end.
Or else they'll call you and say, they'll ask about your health care. Are you with so-and-so? No.
I don't know. It's a strange world. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Very strange world. Okay. What other events do we have coming up? I know that we have the thing on March 1st. Anything else that the station's involved in the near future?
At this point, I don't think there's anything on the agenda.
Okay, there are things in the works, I'm sure.
Oh, there's always things in the works.
As they say, there's things in the hopper.
There's things in the hopper, yes.
We just can't.
Not at liberty at this time.
Right, yes. I plead to, I can't say anything at this time.
It's just the three of us. Come on, guys. Tell me, what's going on?
Oh, big stuff. Big stuff.
I haven't been included. Hmm.
Yeah. Well, you were just included on the March 1st.
We tried to invite you.
That's true. That's true.
And the first time we got...
You said this stupid work thing got involved.
We got scorned.
Yeah.
First time we invite you, we get scorned.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
We get scolded and yelled at and, and something about work and...
I guess I could reveal where my other job is, and a lot of people out there already know. I work for Marka Industries, and it's just fascinating what goes on out there.
You know who listens to this station a lot? Chip.
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 Dale's friend?
You know who I'm talking about,
Dale. Talking about.
Chip, the bagger at Kroger.
Yeah.
Oh, Chip.
Yeah.
Chip.
He's a great supporter.
He's
of this
a great
station.
Supporter. He always comes in and tells me who was on. Yeah. And he's a good listener.
He loves loves the celebrity interviews.
He's got the TuneIn app on his smartphone.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nate Osborne listens a lot, too. And he's...
Nate. I love Nate.
You know Nate.
Nate came for a tour when we first opened up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. He always asked me who's going to be on my show.
Nate's a great, great kid.
Yes, he is. Wonderful.
What exactly do they do out there, though? I mean...
What do they do at Marka?
Yeah, I mean, as far
well,
as...
Well, that'll take the next hour or so. No, we have different things, different jobs for folks to do. Like sometimes right now we don't have anything from Todco, but if you buy something that you have to assemble and they're little bolt packages, well, one of the things they do is they will have a board with the different shapes of everything that needs to go in that package.
I got you.
They will match up those pieces, oh, put them in the bag, seal them.
Awesome. Okay.
There's another one. There's a pharmaceutical company that they're washing their bins for them. We have like a regular dishwasher like they have in the kitchen,
mm-hmm.
and we run those through there. One of our biggest is shredding, and I'm involved with that. We have a shredding truck that can go to locations and shred your
documents.
Yes, thank you. Right. Or it's a little less expensive if you bring them to Marka, and we have a shredder there on site as well.
I got you.
And with that, with that job, we have people that get other people to get involved because we will have people taking paper clips, rubber bands, so on off, while other people are feeding paper into the machine to be shredded.
Gotcha.
And it's quite an operation. And you know what? These folks are proud of their work.
That's great, yeah.
I love working with them. It's been really rewarding.
Yeah.
And if any of you are listening, hi. So, but I wish some people, more folks would stop by Marka and see what happens out there. Really makes a difference.
It's, it looks like it's a really neat operation out
fantastic
there.
Fantastic program.
Yeah.
As we're saying now, breaking barriers, building bridges.
Oh, so, that's great.
Marka's been around since the 1960s. And hopefully it'll be around for a while yet.
I would hope.
Yeah, I would hope so.
It's a good group.
Good group of people.
Yeah. Fantastic placement and just a whole great operation. Yeah. And what's the Jacqueline Ringer?
Jacqueline.
Does she work there?
If it's a Jacqueline I'm thinking of, she's no longer there.
Oh, mm-hmm. I'm sorry I brought that up.
She had, no. It was a good thing. She had to move.
The police were out to get her. She had to get out of town.
She moved out of the area, and she was fun to work with. If it's a Jacqueline, I think it is.
Yeah.
I met her. For some reason she came on. I think she came on to talk about a levee at some point.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was actually probably with the Marion County Board of DD.
Probably.
Yes. So
she might still be there.
Okay.
She might still be, because. Yeah. Because of some changes in the rules, Marka had to separate from the board, so we're now two separate entities, and I can't get into all the details of that because I don't know the details. But in the near future, I'll hopefully have somebody on here that can explain those things.
Did you learn about the Daytona 500 today?
Yeah. With Ken Squire?
Yeah, Ken Squire.
I was working.
Oh, wow.
Some of us have to work for a living.
You didn't put the TuneIn app on?
No, I'm sorry.
It's a nasty word again.
So, yeah. So, Jeff Squire was on.
Ken.
No, Ken. Squire. Ken Squire.
Right there in front of me. Right there. Ken Squire.
Jeff Squire. He's the dean of NASCAR racers. He was the first to broadcast the Daytona 500 back in 1979. He came up with the term the Great American Race.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, did he share any words of wisdom, anything?
Oh, he had a lot of words.
He did.
He spoke a lot.
Did he?
Yes, he did. Had to do very little work during that one.
Did he talk a lot about the differences when he started doing that compared to when he ended?
He said something about the newer drivers. He just, because you ask him about later Indy or Daytona 500s.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He was just saying that, like, the newer drivers now, he said that there's changes all the time, and they found different spots for him. So he went from being like an in-studio in the booth to being like hosting other shows and things like that.
It's a big deal. People love those race cars.
Yes. Oh, they do. NASCAR's really big.
Neck car.
I can't watch it. I can't watch it. I'll try to watch it, and I'll fall asleep.
I know.
Really?
Yeah. There's something hypnotic about that. Zoom.
Well, have you ever listened to NASCAR on the radio?
No. No, I wouldn't even attempt it. You know, I was thinking earlier, and I told this story, I think, to Terry this morning. I was working at another radio station, and one time the Indians were playing.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is true. And it was on the weekend. It was on a Saturday afternoon, and I went in to tape an interview. And I was not very savvy on the board because I had no training in radio. But I wanted to tape this interview, and I had to do it in the main studio. But, of course, nobody was in there because the Indians game was on automatic pilot.
Right.
I went in, and I taped the interview, and I realized when I was done with the interview, I had knocked the Indians game off the air.
And you were on.
I was no. I had just turned them off, and it was just dead silence for 35 minutes. But here's the thing: nobody ever knew.
Nobody ever called.
So I thought, how many people are listening to the Indians on radio? Nobody. In the beginning, I felt bad because I thought, oh, I probably. Then when I realized nobody was listening, I even felt worse.
35 minutes with no calls. I mean,
no call. Nobody called and said anything.
Now, if you would have done that to NASCAR,
yeah, you might have. Yeah.
You think people will listen to it?
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
It's on television.
I was at another station here in town and ran the NASCAR races. By running, I mean I was putting it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
For several years, I become known. I was known as NASCAR boy by another Scott.
Oh.
And I put a lot of NASCAR on the air. And towards the end, it got kind of boring because it used to be that you'd actually, when you got the signal, the cue, you would actually put the commercials on. Well, towards the end, there was a signal that played, and the commercials actually played without you doing anything.
What was the cue?
The cue was you're listening to NASCAR on MRN. There were two different networks. There was a different, I can't remember what the other one was.
So when they said that, it was time to play this stuff.
Right, exactly.
Well, you know, people don't realize, you know, the Today Show, which has been around now for close to 70 years, their tagline, you know, this is Today on NBC. The reason that's there is because that used to be a cue to the local stations to get ready that we're going to send it to you.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, they don't have to do that today, but it became a kind of a catch line.
So it got kind of boring because I wasn't really into NASCAR. So, you know, the only reason I was there was in case something messed up, or if there was a rain delay, then I would just switch over to music,
right,
and sometimes be on the air myself. So, yeah, it's in that way, NASCAR has changed.
They didn't broadcast the rain delay?
No. Well, sometimes they did.
I bet they did.
There was something.
Sure.
But sometimes there wasn't. They'd say, well, we'll return. Check in with us in 30 minutes or at a certain time. Then you check back with them and see if they were ready to go again or not.
Yeah.
So that's.
But
changed.
One thing, too, is when you do something like that and you're doing a live thing, make sure that the button, you know what I mean? If you're somewhere else, make sure that the button, that they can hear you back at the studio.
Yes.
Because we encountered that.
Right.
when we were in Pittsburgh.
Oh, yes. That was a bad day.
We were in Pittsburgh. And,
yeah.
And we were wondering why we couldn't get the signal back here because somebody had turned the.
Yeah, they should be able to hear you in Q.
Yeah.
Which isn't going on the air, yes. Yeah. That's,
but unfortunately.
I did one heck of a show that day.
<You did.
laughs> But nobody heard it.
Yeah.
It was a good show, though.
It was great.
It was a good show.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, radio's changed a lot since I started. I've only done it part-time for the most part, but I went to the American School of Broadcasting in 1989 and 90 and ended up having my own shift on WQEL in Bucyrus every Sunday night, and they said, just do what you want to do. So they still had turntables in the studio. I'd bring my oldies in and just play them and had a good old time.
Now, did you know Joy Tarbert?
That name is familiar.
She was there.
Okay.
See, one time, I don't know if I ever told this on the air, but I got offered a job there one time. See, what was going on? I was at another radio station here in town, and I was doing the talk show in the afternoon. And I get a call one day from the station manager over there, whose name, I think he's still there, Jim Radke.
He might have retired.
He might have retired. But,
yes.
But Jim called, and I had no idea who he was. But he called me up and he said, would you come over here for a meeting? And I had no idea what this station was, didn't know where it was. So I get over to Bucyrus, and I had a meeting with Jim and this woman who was the station manager. Mm-hmm. I think he was just under her.
She was there after I was there, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I go in and have a meeting with them. And what they offered me was to be the news director at that station. And mm-hmm. I said, well, I don't think I want to do this because I don't know the political scene over here in Bucyrus. And I'm just, you know, I'm having a good time in Marion at that point. And I like doing talk shows
because
that was what I was doing.
Right.
I wasn't doing big news stories. And Joy Tarbert was their big talk show lady.
Okay.
And she was a big lady in general, by the way.
Okay.
And she was a... She had, like, a lot of history in Bucyrus. She had been on television at some point over there, religious television, and then she came on radio, and she was, like, their public affairs woman.
Gotcha.
And Joy had a stroke.
Okay.
unfortunately, she'd had a stroke. So she was out on stroke leave. And they said, well, you can do Joy's show until she gets back, so you'll get that talk show that you want to do.
Right.
But I went home and I thought about it, and I thought, she's going to come back, and then I'll be out.
Right.
And she never came back is the moral to that story, God bless her. She lived a few more years, but she was never able to come back to work because the stroke was pretty severe.
Okay.
But I'm still glad I did not take that job because, first of all, I was never going to move to Bucyrus. Mm-hmm. I would not want to drive there in the winter, especially with the hours that the news director would have had. But it was a nice offer. You know what it did in the beginning? It gave me that people maybe liked what I was doing.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Because people don't really tell you that you work with.
Yeah, if you get an offer like that, that should tell you something.
Yeah, and I like the people were very nice over there. And when we went and did the Bratwurst Festival last year, the people were fantastic. I had a lot. Charlie and I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Doing that broadcast.
WQEL and WBCO AM. Yes.
And you learned what is a dernda or what
dirndl? I learned what a dirndl was.
That name, that word sounds familiar.
It's the dress
that the polka
people wear.
Oh, a polka dress.
Yeah.
Was that an important call?
I missed it.
Oh.
Oh, I wasn't watching here. I didn't even realize it.
No, we'll
it.
Get
yeah.
it.
We'll get it.
So that would be a polka dotted dress? I don't know.
No, it's like the lady who comes out of your cuckoo clock. The thing wearing. That's a dirndl.
Okay. And if you're too big, you probably put a girdle under your dirdle, right?
Dirndl.
Yeah.
Two D's.
Oh,
dirndl.
Okay.
Dirndl.
Yes.
I see.
Like aunt.
You know, one other one that really bothers me, when people say ATM machine, what do they think that M stands for? So saying automatic teller machine?
Oh, you know, that's not the worst one. The one that I hate the most is when people say literally. I literally picked that up outside. Well, of course, how else would you have done it?
Yes.
I don't think they understand what the word literally means. I think they're using literally as like an emphasis word, but you're repeating yourself.
To make it sound like I know what I'm talking about.
Yes. Yeah, but everything you do is literal.
I literally am on the air right now.
Right, right.
Yes.
Well, how's that different from I'm on the air right now?
Yeah.
Means the same thing.
It does, but it doesn't sound as... You're right.
You know what it's about?
Also vice versa. They use that wrong. I mean, I've heard people use vice reverse.
People used to say vis-a-vis.
Yes.
But people don't say that anymore.
Yeah. No,
vis-a-vis
don't.
Used to be a
big
one.
Vice versa kills me, man. It's
seems like there's another thing such as ATM machine people say, and I can't remember what that was.
I don't like it is what it is. What else would it be?
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
Because that's all.
What else could it be?
Right, that's what.
Not ever shall be.
Exactly.
Que sera, sera.
Yeah, right.
Doris Day.
Yeah.
I'm going to break in a song here in just a minute.
Didn't Doris Day sing Que sera, sera?
Yes, she did.
Oh, good. I'm glad I was right on it. One for me.
Did you notice she had a TV show as well later? And that was her theme song of the TV show in the late 60s.
Oh, the Doris Day Show.
Yes. Well, yes.
Yes.
Kind of like the Mike Wilson
Show. Mike Wilson Show. And, you know, it used to follow the Betty White Show in the network. Back then, they didn't put a whole lot into titles.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, and what I never understood about those shows, like the Doris Day Show, she didn't play Doris Day.
No, she played a widow.
Well, she was like Reba Johnson.
Yeah.
But it was the Doris Day Show.
Okay, yeah.
Made no sense.
Well, Doris Day was a name that people knew, and, you know, Que sera, sera.
You know, that was a big hit song, Que sera, sera, which means whatever will be, will be.
The future's not ours to see.
Que sera, sera.
All right.
You got it.
Sounds good.
Oh.
You know what that makes me think about? Because in radio, a lot of times you don't have guests. And one of my early shifts in radio was working very early on Saturday morning, 6 a.m. to 8 in the morning. And I used to try to drum up guests, which was difficult because you certainly weren't going to get anybody on the West Coast that early in the East Coast.
Right.
And sometimes it was even difficult to get people on the East Coast on a weekend. So I had an Aunt Hazel in my real life.
You had a what?
Aunt Hazel. I know. I had an Aunt Hazel, that really a great aunt who I knew. She had since passed away. And I decided I was going to create a character, Aunt Hazel. Okay. And I found this lady named Mary Lou. Ooh, can't remember her last name. But her name was Mary Lou. And she didn't live in Marion, Ohio. She lived in somewhere in New Jersey, but she was a comedian. And when I was looking on the internet, the reason I chose her was she looked like my Aunt Hazel.
Oh, okay.
So I would have her call in to kill times, and it was all improv. But basically just the idea was that I, her nephew, was calling my Aunt Hazel on the air.
Oh, that's cool.
And she was very, Mary Lou, can't remember her last name, but she was a funny lady. And people really thought it was my aunt. They never, and when she died, I felt horrible. The actress died because that was really became a fun thing because people bought into it. They really believed that I was having a conversation with my aunt. I think because it wasn't scripted.
Right.
That she was very quick on her feet. She was actually a stand-up comedian.
Right.
So she was a wonderful woman, though, but I used to love those Aunt Hazel bits. She was great.
I bet it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to do bits when I was a WQEL, just different, comedy bits using different voices. I had an old woman and different, an old man, different things like that I'd use. Yeah. But I'm not going to try to do them today.
What happened? You did an old woman?
Yeah.
You're not going to give us a little preview of that?
Well, it sounded a little bit like Julia Child, actually.
I was going to say, is there going to be another Julia Child? Because we've already had the worst Julia Child I think you could have.
I'm not going to say who did that on the air.
I won't say who did it.
I don't
want to
hear the complaints.
Yeah.
I also do a wonderful Paul Lynn, so.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
I interviewed Peter Marshall recently.
Yeah.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I can do it.
He was one of my favorites on the Hollywood
Squares. Here we go. I'll make you feel more comfortable. I want Paul Lynn to block.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm speechless. I have nothing to say.
Paul Lynn was never speechless.
Never.
He was always drunk, but not speechless.
He kind of sounded a little like that.
That's good. That's good.
Hey, Sammy.
That's good.
He was an odd guy.
He was.
He was an odd man.
He was from Mount Vernon, Ohio.
Wow. No kidding.
He was still odd.
Yeah.
He wore ascots.
Yeah.
Anybody who wore an ascot, you were immediately strange.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Once. Yes. Yes. I can remember his voice, but I can't do that voice.
Charles Nelson. Didn't he wear those?
Oh, yes, he did. Yeah.
He wore ascots,
He used to get into fights with Brett Summers.
Brett Summers.
On the match game.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the friction was between those two.
Well, he always said that she would copy off his answers and he would...
They probably,
but Charles had some unusual answers anyway.
They probably had the same makeup person.
They could have had, yeah.
Do you remember Charles Nelson Reilly as the Big Banana? The Big Banana?
No.
It was a pin that they had back in the 1970s.
Okay.
And he was the Big Banana. He was dressed as a banana. There was a song with it.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Charles Nelson Reilly. What an odd fellow he was.
Man.
Do you remember the Sid and Marty Krofft show that he was in?
No. He had a show?
Yes, he did. Mm.
I didn't know he did anything.
Because I honestly only remember him from the match game. That's where...
Lidsville.
Lidsville. What did he do?
He was an evil hatter.
That works.
The premise was this young man was watching this magician and went backstage afterwards and fell in this hat and ended up in this place called Lidsville. And then this guy was after him that drove this big old hat.
What was the Sid and Marty Krofft show that was a kid show that was allegedly not a kid show? Had all kinds of weird meanings.
Let's see.
What was their big hit?
Oh. I have pictures in my head, but I can't think of what it was.
Yeah, but it was supposed to be directed toward kids, but it really wasn't.
Billy Wilder was in it. It was a witchy poo. What was the name of that show? It escapes me.
Yeah, it had a weird name. Puffin Stuff or something.
H.R. Puffin Stuff. That's
H.R. Puffin Stuff. And it was not for kids, but kids watched it.
Yes, I think the Krofts were partaking of something when they wrote these things.
You watched the Mr. Rogers documentary this past Saturday.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I watched it too. And Charlie Evers watched it because he sent me an email to let me know it was on. You know, I found it very interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
I did too.
I thought it was well done.
Pretty factual, I mean, as far as...
Well, it didn't make him out to be a saint, is what I thought was interesting. It,
right.
It told, like...
he wasn't the sniper that they say,
right?
He wasn't
the sniper. No, okay. But like the singer on the show. On the show, he was the
Joe,
cop.
The policeman.
Yeah, what was his name? Francisco Clemens. Clemens.
Yes. Yeah, Francois.
That he was gay, huh? And that Fred knew it, but Fred said, you can't say you're gay on the air because I'll lose my sponsors. So he was revolutionary in the way that he, Francois was black, that he did this thing in the tub to show that,
yeah,
you know,
a little kid's waiting pool.
Little kid's waiting pool.
In the backyard,
treating people of a different color were bad, but yet when it came to the gay issue, he had not evolved on that one.
Right.
That Fred was not. So I thought that was interesting because they didn't make him out to be the saint. Most people who talk about Mr. Rogers talk about him in a very saintly way,
sure.
But there were things about him that were, you know, things I don't know that would be okay today.
Yeah, and I did like that how he... how they soaked their feet together in that pool. And then Mr. Rogers asked if he could dry his feet for him. And that was a good lesson in integration. At that time, there were people throwing bleach into swimming
pools, public pools
where African-Americans were swimming and trying to, you know, I don't know. I don't understand that thinking.
It was part of it.
Yeah.
It was part of it.
But he did just the opposite. I mean, they shared the pool together and... I think that was a step in integration in this country.
I do, too. And they also talked about how Mr. Rogers wasn't cool, how there were a lot of people who didn't think it was cool. And I think that has maintained. I think he was much slower, much more methodical. And I'm sure that played a part. I mean, I think... And also, I did not realize, the one thing that I learned in that special that I found more interesting than anything else, I didn't realize he stopped doing the show in the 70s, that he had planned to go do shows for adults, but they did not do well.
Right.
So he went back to the kids show that he had actually stopped. And after he left, he regretted leaving, that he said he missed playing with his friends.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes, most certainly.
I think most people who leave something when you're on it for that long, there's always some regret.
Right, sure. Well, you've become accustomed to everything, and you know, and
but there is you got to know when to leave.
Sure,
you got to know when to leave.
Time.
You don't want to overstay your welcome.
No.
Right.
You don't want to not be at the top of your game anymore.
Right,
most certainly.
Yeah,
that's what Johnny Carson used to say. He said, "You know, tell me if I'm slipping."
There was a finale of one series that I will never forget, and I loved it. And they were at the top of their game at the time, and that was the Newhart show.
Yeah, very
smart. I love that finale. I've replayed that.
To wake up in the other series?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the best series finale, though, in my opinion, was Mary Tyler Moore. And they left right at the top.
Yes, they did.
And it was so... I mean, they didn't do a big special episode. I mean, it was the final episode, but it was so brilliant. And without going into the details of the... What I like best about that episode is basically the station gets bought by a new owner, and they're out to fire bumbling Ted. And they spend the first part of the episode consoling Ted, and they go into the office, and they fire everybody but Ted.
Yes.
And I thought, how brilliant... Wow. Is that because you've seen him be the bumbling fool for 7 years, and he says, Ted, you're staying, and the rest of you, you're gone. Which leads to the big finale,
right.
Where it's a long way to Tipperary.
Yes.
That is a great trivia question. That's almost every Trivial Pursuit that'll come up. What is the song the Mary Tyler Moore cast sang as they left WJM? It's a long way to Tipperary. That's the only time I've ever heard that song.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know where it comes from.
But it still
from.
Sticks to my head because of that episode.
Yeah.
And I can remember them all huddled together, and they were crying, and they all stayed together as a group when went over to Mary's desk and got tissues.
I interviewed Betty White, and I think maybe this came from Ed Asner, because Ed Asner came to Marion and did some things for me, and I, great guy. Ed Asner's
fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Just the tops. And Ed told me that when that last scene was happening, that the crew was so broke up, they did it in front of a live studio audience, that Mary had to come back, you know, at the end where she looks back in the newsroom and shuts off the light.
Right.
That when she shut off the light, the prop guy didn't shut the light off because he was sobbing.
Oh.
So they had to go back and she had to walk out again. But he said even Mary would say later that she did not want to leave, that that was genuine emotion, that she was told that for the purposes that they should leave on top and the writers wanted to do other things, but she didn't want to leave.
Right.
She really did not want to end that show.
And that was an awesome show. And that was breaking some barriers there.
Yeah.
But subtly, which is where I right. like it better. Where All right. in the Family was talking about what was going on in the news. Mm-hmm. You know, Mary Tyler Moore did it just subtle. It was with clever writing. Clever. Mary Tyler Moore, Taxi, those are some of the clever. I think the reason the Golden Girls has maintained for so many audiences is because if you pitch that show, four old women living together in Miami, who's going to? But I think the reason it maintains is the writing is so good.
And there was a good chemistry between the four ladies that were in that show as well, I think.
Yeah, they all worked well together. I was always a big I always like Cheers. I thought
Cheers had great writing.
I thought that was a great well written show.
Yeah, and their finale was pretty good too.
Yeah, they had a good out.
Yeah,
wasn't that? Did Ted Danson turn out the lights on that one?
He turned out the light. We're closed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it was. Somebody came to the door and said, "We're closed." Yeah.
We're closed.
Yeah.
Yep. Where everybody knows your name.
There have been some good finales.
There have been some stinkers.
Yeah, some finales that were very poor.
The Sopranos was a stinker.
I never watched The Sopranos.
I didn't either.
But I just heard that finale was a stinker.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
A lot of people didn't like the Seinfeld, that they all went to jail.
Right.
I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good show, too, about nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was a good show about nothing. Yeah.
Kind of like this show today.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, same premise.
Yeah.
You know what? The time's been going pretty quickly. We're down to about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Really?
A minute and a half right now, yeah.
Minute and 90 seconds. What can you do in 90 seconds?
I don't know. I'm sure that you can come up with something.
Plus,
my show, isn't it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have nothing.
pitch the event at the Tony Pacos.
Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. March 1st, they opened at 10:30, but our broadcast started at 11:15, 1902 Front Street in Toledo.
Hot
come
dogs.
Come and join us.
Yeah.
Hot dogs galore.
Yeah. We'll be there for the 25th anniversary of Mary Ellen Withrow. Her inauguration.
Should be signing a bun.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be listening again next Monday from about 5:10 till 6 on WWGH2, the Mike Wilson Experience. Thanks, guys, for filling in today. I really appreciate it.
It's fun.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.